Hello and welcome to another episode in the Naxos Sounds Interesting podcast series, an engaging potpourri of musical topics. I'm Richard Kennedy, and today's episode is called Going Gothic. The Romantic period in classical music wasn't only about expressions of love and depictions of nature. There was also a fascination with the occult. From the world of opera, think Weber's Der Freischütz and Marschner's Der Vampir for starters. These dark pathways accompanied a renewed fascination with awesome Gothic architecture and the proliferation of horror literature in the 19th century. The term Gothic can be interpreted through several lenses, but music has always proved a versatile and natural partner to heighten its emotional core. We explore here some of the works that are associated with the Gothic milieu, and where better to start than with Count Dracula and his spine-tingling formula of erotic terror. Praise be for garlic and truculent steaks to keep us safe. Philip Feeney wrote his evocative score for the UK Northern Ballet Company's new production, Dracula, in 1997, marking the centenary of the publication of Bram Stoker's novel of the same name. This extract is taken from the final scene depicting Dracula's impalement, conducted by John Price Jones. Henry James blended a ghost story with psychological horror in his 1898 novel, The Turn of the Screw. Do the sinister apparitions exist, or not? Is the governess insane, or not? In Britten's operatic adaptation of the story, the end of Act I climaxes with the appearance of two ghostly figures who are waiting for their prey, the boy Miles and his sister Flora, but then disappear at the entrance of the children's governess and the housekeeper. The latter leads Flora away, leaving young Miles to confess to his governess, "I am bad." Here's a clip, performed by the Aldborough Festival Ensemble and conducted by Stuart Bedford. Cathedral architecture probably springs first to mind when the term Gothic is mentioned. Dating from the high and late medieval periods, these massive, intricate structures would have made the faithful of the day mindful of their own relative insignificance. Here was a form of heaven on earth, buttressed to the hilt and guarded by monstrous gargoyles. These grotesque stone sentries have attracted many composers to reproduce their terrifying means in sound. Premiered in 1989, Lowell Lieberman's four movement Gargoyles, Opus 29, ends with a presto feroce that is as intimidating for the pianist's technique as in its imagery. This extract is performed by Yutong Sun. Havergal Brian, 1876 to 1972, was a British composer who wrote a total of 32 symphonies. Symphony No. 1 is his most famous, not least because of the huge performing resources that it demands. Subtitled The Gothic, it's constructed in two parts. Part 2 was inspired by Gothic cathedrals and by the music that was performed in the building's hallowed, cavernous spaces. Brian fills this part of the score with a setting of the Te Deum, requiring 32 woodwind, 24 brass, 2 timpanists, a percussion section of 17 players, celesta, 2 harps, organ, plus an enlarged string section. This climactic section gives a taste of that large-scale canvas. Let's listen to an extract performed by the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra and conducted by Andrei Lenard. Brian lived until the age of 96. Charles-Marie Vidor, the French organist-composer, who also composed a symphonie gothique, lived to the age of 93. Vidor is possibly most widely known for the finale to his Organ Symphony No. 5, the famous Toccata, but his symphonie gothique has the distinction of being the piece that was played at his own funeral. He died on the 12th of March, 1937, and was buried the next day. His former organ pupil, the celebrated Marcel Dupré, played the organ for the service and performed the first movement of the Symphonie Gothique as Vidor's coffin was carried to the crypt at the Church of Saint-Sulpice in Paris. While the music's massive expansiveness reflects the Gothic spaces it was filling, I'd opt for the second movement for my final journey, the sublime Andante Sostenuto. Let's listen to an extract performed by Robert Delcamp. Any organists reading this will be anticipating a mention of Boëlmont's Suite Gothique for organ, maybe a clip from the famous Toccata Finale. I won't disappoint, but maybe I'll surprise with an unusual version of the movement. Improbably, it's an arrangement for saxophone and organ, with the saxophone chattering away with rapid-fire fingerwork, but with the organ finally asserting itself in a size-trumps-everything conclusion to the piece. This extract is performed by Hans Martin Limburg. We move from the original Gothic solemnity of religious buildings to one of the most famous Gothic-inspired edifices of the 19th century, the UK's Palace of Westminster, known as the Houses of Parliament, and home to the House of Commons and the House of Lords, or Peers. It took 30 years to build the palace, from 1840 to 1870, and in 1882, Gilbert and Sullivan, the doyens of British operetta, premiered Iolanthe, a tale of fairies and upper-class mortals, using it as a vehicle for a caricature of the peerage. A whiff of the setting's grandiose Gothic architecture is caught in the minor key and contrapuntal introduction to the Lord Chancellor's ditty, "The Law is the True Embodiment." Here's an extract performed by the D'Oyly Carte Opera Orchestra.
embodiment of everything that's excellent. It has no kind of fault or flaw, and I, my lords, embody the law. The constitutional guardian I of pretty young wards in Chancery, all very agreeable girls, and none are over the age of 21. A pleasant occupation for a rather susceptible chancellor.
A pleasant occupation for a rather susceptible chancellor.
But though the compliment implied inflates me with legitimate pride, it nevertheless can't be denied that it has its inconvenient side. For I'm not so old, and I'm not so plain, and I'm quite prepared to marry again. But there'd be the deuce to pain the lords if I fell in love with one of me wards. Which rather tries my temper, for I'm such a susceptible chancellor.
Which rather tries his temper, for he's such a susceptible chancellor.
We shouldn't end without reference to music written in the true Gothic age. Not least because the Naxos release Argentum et Aurum won the early music category of the 2016 International Classical Music Awards. So here's a final extract from Gegrüsset seist du Maria, written around the year 1400, performed by Ensemble Leonis and conducted by Mark Lewon. Thank you for tuning in to this Naxos Sounds Interesting podcast. For the text version, visit blog.naxos.com, where you'll also find an alternative audio series devoted exclusively to new releases from Naxos.